This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part one of our December 1st, 2009 at Jimmy Doan Show.
Intro.
Yeah. Okay.
This party's a ball. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time!
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic tenant engine engaged. Raise the monster!
Yes!
It's time for the
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. We're back.
We're back already. After 2 weeks.
I'm telling you what, man.
Well, we're trying to put the hangar dogs to shame, except we decided we're going to have them on today.
That's true, we did.
We have a representative here. Stitch is with us.
Yeah. Stitch, actually. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, there we go.
Stitch, rock, oh, yes. Stitch. Stitch, rock, Stitch. Yeah. Stitch, rock. I'm a hanger dog. Stitch, rock,
Stitch. Stitch, rock, I'm sexy for my shirt.
He's got his own theme music.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's Spider, isn't it?
No, it's my buddy's Fall of Envy. Actually, they're playing with Seven Dust at the venue down here on Thursday night.
You got him to make a song about Stitch?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what Bud's your friend, man.
Legend in my own mind, brother.
I guess you can't really have a cool counselor song, huh?
Well, we have your
lawyer song. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. The theme from Ironside, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about your theme from Jaws.
I like this. This is Boston Legal. Okay, good. All right, I'm cool. I'm back. All right.
We have enough for you. That's right. Well, so, Stitch, what is this unemployed stuff? What's that all about?
What, did they take Minesweeper off your computer and you quit or something at NORAD?
Yeah, I was like going, what the hell? Where'd my solitaire go? I said, screw this noise.
Yeah.
I can play solitaire at home.
Yeah.
So,
but you don't get paid for it.
Well, you know, it's part of this. I think Fox is doing something about they had a term for it. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Stealing.
But fundamentally, they're converting a lot of the positions that were contract positions into government service employees.
Really?
And that's one way you can create jobs, by the way.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I've always noticed that before when you hear locally what they do sometimes is they cut government. They say, well, we've cut a bunch of people off the payroll. And, you know, well, except for the fact
and
that
we've hired a bunch of independent contractors.
And then it goes the other way around.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Right. Oh, yeah. And this is cyclical. They do this. DOD in particular loves to do this periodically. They get this wild hair up their ass and they say, we're getting rid of all the contractors. And then they find that their troubles multiply. So at any rate, that's...
No, they can fix it all with another government problem. I mean, a solution problem.
Yeah.
Well, because we all know they're so damn efficient.
Yeah, well, solution equals problem.
Right.
I did watch a DVD. If you get a chance, it's called A Corporation.
I thought you were going to say The Inconvenient Truth, but
oh,
okay.
Yeah. No, were you the one that sent me that cartoon of the scientist standing under the thermometer with the lighter?
I think that was, you know, I saw that as well. It wasn't me, though, but it was top notch.
That was so cool.
Oh, I mean, we got to put a link to that.
Yeah, that's right.
So no, are you gonna open a strip bar, do the right thing in there, wherever you are?
Yeah, you mentioned that, and that got me to thinking, so the wheels are turning. So
excellent.
We'll see what happens.
Girls, baby.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
Always good money in girls, I'll
tell
you.
We'll visit you a lot more.
Yeah, that's right.
You become
right.
We'll brave the snow for that one.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll waive the door fee. But other than that, you guys are on your own.
So, oh, shoot. How about if we pay the door fee and other than that, you buy?
Yeah, right. That's where the big money rolls.
Grand opening, grand closing.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just like sending Homer to an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
He just ran out of
food. What did you do after you kicked him out at 2 o'clock in the morning? We went fishing.
Yeah. I probably have that legs and eggs special, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sounds
good. That's
good.
Well, anyway, so the... I noticed Gene, of course, I guess he's happy as a clam. I see where gold broke 1200.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, on this last go round, I started telling everybody it was around 950 or so that I said, you know,
buy gold.
It's going to 1500, says I. And I got chastised roundly for that. So we're not there yet. But
by whom?
By people here locally, actually.
Oh, okay.
Mrs.
All right.
Jimmy.
Mrs. Jimmy, for one, yeah. Until I gave her some money. That shut her up for a minute.
Yeah, that normally does it.
Well, yeah.
Why are you complaining? I'm buying gold.
Yeah, right, exactly. Where are the diamonds? You know.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So
you just got to get it in, like, necklace format.
Yeah,
there you go.
That would work.
Cougarons.
Yeah, well, Cougarons always work. Anyway, the big news, of course, as we speak, I guess Jack Rose is going to call in after... During the second half.
He very well might. So we've also got Engineer Eric here, of course.
And mm-hmm. Counselor Curtis.
And
Jimmy.
Me.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, just for way of introduction. And it is.
And I had my theme song, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, Stitch is good. That's right. Well, we felt kind of guilty because we haven't heard you guys on for a while. So we thought we'd, you know, get your input from...
I'm not so sure why you should feel guilty. That's all our own damn fault.
Well, I didn't feel guilty at all.
Actually, I didn't. I just wanted to sap some of your talent
off of the show and use it for our show.
I had to go back and start listening to all the old Hangar Dogs archive shows again.
Yeah, which reminds me, we're going to talk a little bit about global warming in a minute. I mean, well, we can talk about it now, actually.
Yeah, why don't we do that now? Because this is a big Stitch thing.
Yeah, didn't we pull up an old one of their
global warming?
It was like 3 or 4 years ago. You were telling us what a fraud it was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you
it
were
was
like
2005, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And you said this is bogus from the start, and it's so funny. It took them 4 years to figure it out.
Right before somebody took that first massive Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Al Gore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my God. What is he going to do? I mean, you know, when the ice freezes over. Well, I mean, it's interesting because I've seen some of the stuff that recently says we're doomed, you know, it's all over. We've passed the tipping point and we're, you know, the human race is going extinct.
Just as well.
Well, so now Stitch, we saw this new article that came out, right? Is that where this topic comes from? Is the new debunkation, so to speak, of the global warming?
Right. Well, they leaked all the 3,500, whatever it was, things.
Emails between top level governmental environmental officials.
Turns out, apparently, they got some temperature readings from some of the stations. They said, you know, these don't look so good, and they shredded them rather than include them in the sample. So, I mean, there's some flack, and it's interesting because those guys are, all the scientists are standing up saying, well, no, there's nothing here. We did fine. It still works. And, of course, it turns out that the UN...
It's hot in here.
Yeah, right. It's it's hot in here. Hey.
Yeah, it's hot in Florida when the air conditioner breaks, too.
That's right. So anyway, and then Congress has decided to get in on the act. These were from England. You know, these are from jolly old England, right? There's this was the whatever the research place is in England.
I don't know. I was going to ask Stitch about the validity of this debunkation, so to speak, and how broad it was. I had heard that it was some...
Who's going down for it, man?
Yeah, and how big are they going down? I mean, is this really going to... Going to shift the tide here, so to speak?
Nobody's going down. I think the die's already been cast. I think most people have this set in their heads that we're destroying the planet and that we have to do all this other stuff.
You think Copenhagen's going to pass some big stuff in Copenhagen?
What, like, it wasn't Copenhagen. Who gives a Nobel Prize? Is that Sweden or Norway?
Yeah, now he's going to...
I'm talking about
Sweden gives it, but for some reason it's in Norway, I think. No, it's Norway... I forget it. I don't know. It was
That's
Nobel.
Okay.
Nobel was a Swede.
Right.
But I think the committee is out of Norway. But for some reason, he goes to Stockholm to get it. So.
Well, no, I'm talking about the conference coming up here. The
Copenhagen.
Global. Right.
And that's the big deal. That Obama's going to go over there and tell him what we're going to do as far as...
So you're going to make a big treaty whereby we're going to commit to some sort of carbon reduction plan.
Well, if he's gonna, if he did as, does as well as he did the last time he visited Copenhagen and trying to get Chicago in the Olympics, I don't think he'll do so well.
It'll be an Olympic effort.
They said there was a news thing that said that the Copenhagenians had passed some new laws about disturbance, and apparently they've done one better than we have over here. And if you, like, do anything, they can detain you, quote-unquote, for 12 or 24 hours or something, you know, to get all the riffraff. I mean, if you just do anything over there now.
So if you ride through the streets with your 12-car motorcade?
No, that apparently is okay if you have the right flags on it.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But if you, apparently if you ride through naked or something or carry a sign that says global warming is a hoax or something, they'll haul you off.
Yeah, you know, and this does bodes ill for Pinky.
He
travels to Copenhagen periodically. So.
Is that right? Oh, God. Well, we'll hear about that, I guess.
We have to keep him up to snuff on that.
He's drinking a Copenhagen brand absinthe with the Copenhagen brand strippers
now? Yeah, it makes you want to throw rocks at your grandmother. Good stuff, that.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Congress has decided, they got nothing else to do, so they decided to get it into global warming and find out.
Sure.
About the data set or whatever it is.
And you can't turn on any of this, you know, the science channels that I like without having them immediately referred. I was literally watching this thing today, and they're saying, you know, because of the massive global warming that's going on, we're seeing this, you know, the Arctic ice sheet, you know, come in and places, blah. I mean, it's just over and over.
It's climate change now.
No, they went back to global warming this last one, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right, now I have another question for our scientist here, our guest scientist.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Drudge Report and other places, there are what seem to be indications that the Chinese have some sort of weather-altering device.
Well, the Chinese will say that. If you recall, back during the Olympics, they had those rockets that they were going to launch that supposedly spawned the rain before it would hit the Olympic venue.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, back
during the Olympics?
So
they had all these rockets. Yeah, that they were going to send up in there.
Well, they're loaded with, like, silver something, bromide or something, aren't they?
Yeah, something like that.
They do have the main weather-altering device they've got are the 5 coal plants per week that they're building.
Right, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Jimmy's right there.
I mean, you know, hello. You spew that out for a while, it's going to...
There's very few... it's a pretty polluted place if you've been to China, and I know several people that have.
They wear masks and stuff.
So what we're saying is that any machine, any device they might have is going to create such a localized miniature effect that...
Well, the deal is this. There's only two ways. The word is that carbon dioxide has, you know, half-life of like 100 years or something, and the amount that's already there, you know, is too much is going to cause the warming even if you cut the emissions to zero tomorrow.
Right, it's going
to
be a runaway.
It's a runaway for the next 50 years before it starts to decompress or go back in or be reabsorbed by the oceans or whatever. And so some other people are talking about, you know, putting out carbon suckers or something out all over the place. Some kind of deal where it literally...
And those are called trees.
That's what I was going to say. Intelligent people call them trees.
Yeah. No, they're, you know...
And actually, you know, with the higher amounts of CO2, it's been proven that you end up with more lush vegetation as a result.
Right.
So if nothing else, we'll have more of a garden planet than we did before.
And you get more plankton blooms, which means more whales.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there, just put that in your eco pipe and smoke it.
Right, exactly. And the polar bears will have something to
do. But don't exhale.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in seeing how this affects this proposed cap and trade bill, which, of course, I've denounced since the get-go.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their marketing has been that it's going to save the planet, this cap and trade thing. It'll save the planet.
It'll save us
from prosperity.
Well, the one thing is that they don't realize is the planet's already saved.
Yeah.
I think what they're a little worried about is them.
Humans.
Oh, absolutely. It's their lack of control. They want control.
Right.
George Carlin stated that a long time ago in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, the planet's going to be here whether they like it or not. I'm sorry.
It's had earthquakes, volcanoes, pole reversals. A few plastic bags aren't going to really hurt it.
Yeah, no.
Pole reversal.
And the way I look at it is they were talking about, they were all upset in this one movie. They said, we burned up... 300 million years of oil in 300 years or something like that, you know, destroyed whatever it is. And I'm thinking, well, think about it for a second. 400 million years from now, when the new species shows up, there'll be all that oil again.
Yeah.
And start all over. You know, what's the big deal?
It'll be a bunch of Jimmy Doan and Hanger Dog squeezins that they can put in their gas.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's right.
This Corvette goes 600
right
miles an hour. It must have had a gene squeezing in it.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I mean, it's no big deal. I'm sitting there thinking, like, so what?
Yeah.
You know, the idea, when you think about how long any sort of hominid, for instance, has even been on this planet. It's not even a blink of an eyelash.
Well, certainly from a galactic perspective, it's
not
nothing to worry about.
A galactic perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
nice. That's
Jimmy sometime removes, well, you know, if we were on Saturn, none of this would matter.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's true.
They have their own global warming problem.
Yeah. Actually, somebody has said that several of the planets are warming up, actually, for some reason.
I wonder why.
I think it has something to do with the sun. I could be wrong.
Yes, I think so.
It's the extra carbon we're putting out there.
Right. It floats away from us, yeah.
I believe back in 2005, I kind of wish Eric had pulled that clip, but I think I talked about the fact that really it's all due to solar variance.
Yeah, you did.
That's your biggest...
Well, not only that, it turns out that methane, for instance, which is all ensconced in a bunch of different places, is like 1,000 times more potent as far as a warming greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide.
Well, actually, it's even worse yet. Even worse yet is water. Water vapor.
Really?
My God, water vapor is the worst.
No kidding.
Absolutely. Which is why you know,
mean
all
like
those
clouds
wetlands,
and stuff.
Those all wetlands right. need to be destroyed.
All we gotta do is get rid of all the water.
That's right.
I got it right here, Stitch.
I think what we need to do is destroy the sun because that's what's causing all our problems.
There you go.
Perfect. Do we pull it up or what?
Yeah, man. You guys bring it.
I tell you.
You said it was solar, everybody.
Jimmy Jones show, they always bring it. What it is, I'm not quite sure, but they bring it, all right.
That's right.
It could be beer, it could be booze.
Let's see. Ass Jack Rhodes.
Well, yeah, by the way, I'm having a Jack and Coke in honor of my good friend Eric the Engineer right now.
All right.
I'm enjoying
that. We can see this is going to be going downhill pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, I think this whole, the global warming thing is, it's going to remain present. There's still people that are going to leverage it. I mean, there's been entire industries developed to leverage the scare of global warming.
And you've hit the nail on it. It's the scare. I mean, the fact is the only way that you can use the government to, you know, and its guns and everything to force people to do things is you scare the bejesus out of them. Wow. So, you know, apparently the Taliban scare has worn off. And whatever.
Well, that's using it for some other different thing, which we'll get into in a second.
They need a new boogeyman, as Gene would say.
Yeah.
Well,
you always have to have a boogeyman. I mean,
well, it has to be out there. You know,
America is the biggest boogeyman for most, you know, two-bit dictators anyway. So
yeah, that's for sure.
I went to the UF game this weekend, and they had a bunch of
Go Gators.
Oh yeah, Go Gators, of course.
Yeah.
Go Gators.
Woo!
12-0. Tebow.
What, they played half-ass you?
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
We didn't much care because we parked cars on the lawn and made money.
Woo!
Yep.
We got donations.
We got donations, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Donations, yeah. Right, for the cause.
For the donation.
Right. But at the UF game, they had all these big posters which said, "This game is a carbon-neutral game." And like everywhere, big posters.
How could that be?
Well, I don't know, because I brought a little extra carbon in my pocket.
Yeah.
And
they didn't know about that.
They sprinkled
it around and
exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I'm sure I ground up three or four.
I just kept sharpening my pencil all the way there.
Oh, sweet.
That's right. I opened up a couple of Cokes and let them fizz out.
Exactly.
Absolutely. No question. Yeah. I poured a couple on the ground. Hell with you.
Yeah.
I showed you carbon neutral, all right, pal.
So now we're stuck. Now we've got all these hybrid cars, and we've got all these batteries and the hazmat associated with those things, which are all coming due, by the way. They're starting to right now.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see how that pans out.
So we should get into hazmat disposal pretty soon here?
I think, yeah. If you get, you know, a battery reclamation industry.
Oh, you know, that would be a great cover for us picking up really cool stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? If we had the Jimmy Doan hazmat sort of dump, or I mean, not dump.
Right. We'll take your mercury, your uranium,
right?
Your spent fuel rods.
That's it.
Hey, coal.
Yeah, exactly. Heck, we'll take your spent shells.
We'll take your unspent shells.
That's right.
We'll spend them.
And we'll spend them.
That's right.
Take guns, ammo.
No, it's funny because I go out to our hazmat place out here to, as you know, to recover Max or something to put together and put them on Craigslist or whatever.
So they get the good stuff at the hazmat dump.
They do. And I've talked to them a couple of times, and they kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I mean, some of that stuff never makes it into the dump.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, this is a great business opportunity for
Unfortunately, that's already, the competition is government competition, and you'd have a hard time competing with that.
We would get
a
license.
Not for battery reclamation.
No, you're right. Battery reclamation might work.
We want to get uranium. I'll work on it.
All right. Well, there's not much uranium in batteries, but I say go for
smoke
it anyway.
Detectors.
You never know.
Smoke detectors.
I mean, if we put the word out
true.
There, that we may get the call, Mr. Doan, when you do pick up this uranium.
Well, yeah. we can
make a website. You know, Jimmy's Uranium Reclamation and liquor store.
Isn't and liquor store
and liquor reclamation.
That's right.
And occasional strip club.
That's right.
And parking for donations.
And parking for donations.
Yeah. Hey, we cover the. We're multilateral corporation.
I think that's good. That's you're right. Diverse.
All the beer that's past its born on date, we will pick up and dispose of. For
right. And we will pass.
That's right. That's right. Used beer, right here. Okay. All right. Well, we pretty much nailed the.
That you, Stitch?
Yeah. Woo. No, I was going to say that also that people never taking it into account. The technology. I mean, I'm sure that somebody's going to come up with a nice, fertile batch of nanobots that'll run around here and eat up all the CO2 and us as well.
Yeah.
Well, you did see.
They eat people. What else you got, Jimmy?
Well, let's just take a quick, 1 minute break, and we'll be right back on the Jimmy Doan Show.
Yeah, baby.
Woo! And we're back.
And
Woo!
We're back.
Look at that.
Short minute. Okay.
Wow, that was magnificent.
Yeah, well,
we time compress over here.
We time compress. That's right.
Roger.
We're 2 hours.
Well, you guys are galactic.
Well, no. Speaking of galactic, if you have some fun, you ought to go look at. Let's see, what's the name of that website? Hold on a second. DeepAstronomy.com. They opened up the Hubble for 11 days and pointed it at some place. There was nothing, zero, black, total blackness, for 11 days, and they found 10,000 gas. And they said the spot that they were aiming at is the same size as a grain of sand held out at arm's length, and they discovered in their 10,000 galaxies.
Are they carbon neutral?
At a distance of 13.5 billion years, which they said is 500 million years after the thing started. The thing I didn't get about it was this redshift business, and they said that some of those galaxies were traveling away from us faster than the speed of light. This I don't understand. So it doesn't make any difference. Anyway, the picture that they had took 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it, how you do
is
with...
Is that the Hubble deep field image or whatever?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
It was
that
cool.
They
did it in 3D and whatever. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they figured now, they've done a rough count.
We'll put a link to that.
They did a rough count, and they figured that there are like an untold number of billions of galaxies out there. I mean, this all started from the point, right? I mean, that... To think that there's no other life around is just stunning to me. To think, think that we're the only ones. So
it's freaking.
Well, shoot, we'll probably kill them all off once we put more carbon on this planet.
That's true.
Well, I was just thinking. Actually, I loved it. In Thanksgiving, I was having some apple pie, and of course, I harkened back to the old Cosmos days where Carl Sagan goes, "If you'd like to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe."
That's from scratch.
That's a little more scratch than I was thinking.
Yeah, no, I'd like to start a little further up the food chain
in that.
At least give me some flour and butter to work with,
Yeah, oh, you were lucky.
Lucky.
Yeah. We didn't even have wheat.
We had a blank, empty, timeless space.
Nice. Yeah, it took a while for that to happen. And then we created Al Gore. So, there you go.
That's right. And the internet, and that's it. Okay.
Yeah, there's always going to be a few turds in them.
Punch bowl.
So, did y'all have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
It was Norman Rockwell-y.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, no, we had 12 family people all here, and there was enough food for like a small.
12 more.
12, at least 12 more.
Well, isn't that the way Thanksgiving goes?
No, yeah. It really was. It was, and you would. I should send you the pictures, the before and after pictures.
Oh, my God.
That's what I should do.
Yeah, no.
This house was.
You don't understand
what this house is like. This house had, the dining room table was stacked to the ceiling. Every table in the house.
Every table and every, you could barely walk through Jimmy's, it looked like that. But like an unpacked Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse.
Right.
You know, and no crates.
Where it had been spilled.
Right.
The crates had been opened, everything had spilled
out.
Wow.
And so Mrs.
Well,
Jimmy,
it was a bunch of musical equipment had moved in here.
Well, yeah, that, we had also. That. We had that too.
We had 10,000 things from computers, wires everywhere, whatever.
Anyway, you couldn't really get it into the dining room at all, much less the table.
Right.
So
Mrs. Jimmy decided we needed to clean up. I suggested that we rent somebody else's house.
That would work.
And actually, we had an offer.
Yeah, and a really nice one in the country club,
yep,
too.
Everything was
cool and
everything.
Wasn't enough for Mrs. Jimmy, no.
No, I had to be here.
So it took us 3 days to move everything into the back room.
Now
it has its own gravitational field.
That's right.
It's creating a black hole.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, it's being, that's no question. The Hadron Collider has nothing on us. We're in the process of
putting. Well, no, the Hadron Collider doesn't have much on anybody else either.
Well, they fired it up. They got something out of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what. I don't think they do either.
Bird fired it down.
Well, no, but they fired it. They cleaned out the shit
they
or whatever it was.
The bird.
The
yeah.
bird poop. Or no, the bagel it was
right,
or something.
Right.
Bagel piece.
That's a piece of a baguette.
Baguette.
Well, baguette.
That's right. And no, I heard they fired it up and they said it tested it and they fired some, you know, stuff at almost.
Little tiny things and other little tiny things.
Yeah,
really
right.
Fastly.
That's right.
I'm just hoping they create a singularity and this whole thing collapses. It'll be awesome.
Well, they
great. As long as you stand between that and the strip bar, then you could, at least while you're getting drawn in there, you know, you can.
Yeah.
Sure.
You mean get crushed.
You get crushed against
strippers.
A stripper, right?
Right, exactly. That's the way I want to die.
If you have to.
Impacted into an entire
strip club. Of course, who knows? You might just blow out the other end, you know, and wither.
Hopefully with a stripper.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You'd be, of course, co-joined.
Yeah,
but, you know. Anyway,
I certainly would.
Yeah, certainly would. And your point is, okay.
Never miss an opportunity. I always say.
No, that's it. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item I had was, of course, the Bernanke is so funny. It has to do with the fact that gold.
Oh, that's the comedian.
Yeah, that's the comedian.
Yeah, that's him, all right.
That's it.
Oh, you're so damn funny. You Bernanke, you're crazy,
you're
man.
Hilarious,
cracky Bernanke.
Boy, talk about somebody who is filthy rich, and I can't wonder what's in it for him. You know, he's head of the Fed, and he says we have to maintain the secrecy and everything in order to, you know, maintain the stability that we have. And this guy wrote on. This guy, Robert Higgs, who's really good, if you ever get a chance, Higgs, he has written a bunch of books and everything, and he's a libertarian kind of guy. But it's funny, he wrote a critique of Bernanke's op-ed piece that appeared Sunday in defense of the secrecy and what the Fed was doing. And, of course, what Bernanke said was he's worried that the Congress is going to strip the Fed of its regulatory powers, and we want to protect the monetary policy from short-term political influence. And he said that the... some of the measures in response to the financial crisis that they did already were distasteful and unfair, but they were necessary. And I'm thinking,
what?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, hey, sorry about the distasteful and unfair part, but it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so the officials, of course, are proposing a solution, as you well know, instead of having the five regulatory agencies for, you know, banks, thrifts, credit cards, whatever. They want to have a super agency now.
Yeah. And then a banking czar.
They want to, that's right, the czar over the czar. But I love this. Now more than ever, America needs a strong, non-political, and independent central bank with the tools to promote financial stability and help steer our economy to recover without inflation.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, what's so funny about it is, what stability is he talking about? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
What's the Fed done?
Well, so far,
since
what it's
started.
Done is, okay, it started in 1913.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it didn't really get cranked up until 1920. For us, for the people in 1920,
mm-hmm.
it didn't really get cranked up until...
And then we had a depression.
We had the worst depression ever in 1920, which was over in about a minute.
Right.
Because there was no... Because the government cut its budget in half
mm-hmm.
and did nothing. And so the market corrected literally in 18 months. It was all over. And in fact, in 18 months, it was had a higher output than before. And this is after the First World War. Thank you so much. So anyway, then 1929 comes along, and Fed's got its knees or whatever it is together. And, of course, they had been monkeying with the system since 1922. and had a balloon, had a bubble, and then they tried to fix the bubble, which made the Depression last until 1946 through the World War. Mm. So
and since then there's been
and since
several.
Then there have been you only have to here's all you have to look at really.
That's why they're going
to
reform it, Jimmy.
Yeah, I understand that they're going to reform it. It's going to make it better. The dollar, of course, is lost.
You learn from your mistakes, Jimmy.
Yeah, but mostly what you learn is not much. Not those guys. No, but what I find interesting is you don't have to know much except that we were on a gold standard until 1933. Literally, you could walk into a bank with a $20 bill and say, excuse me, I'd like to have one of those St. Gaudens 20s, please. And they would hand it to you. No problem. Then that went away. So you couldn't do that. Then in 1964, they couldn't even give you the silver.
Right.
I mean, you know, you had at least a 90% quarter dime, whatever, dollar, silver dollars, you know. And then they said, you don't have any silver left. I'm sorry, we're going to give you crap. Then around in the mid-70s, they didn't even have copper left.
Right.
So they took that out of the pennies because people were, you know, hoarding the... I mean, you got to realize we're spending... We got tokens.
Well, what's funny is one of my friends said... one of my friends was worried about it. He says, soon we'll be paying for everything with plastic beads. And I'm like... We use paper now.
We use plastic now.
Yeah.
Not a bead.
In New Orleans, beads are worth something, too.
Hey, plastic beads. Yeah, don't knock a plastic bead in New Orleans in Mardi Gras time.
You can see some knockers.
That's a valuable... I mean, it really does become a valuable commodity. Yes. I mean, seriously.
A unit of exchange.
You can get serious attention.
That particular market bears that.
Well, exactly.
And bear is the right word.
It bears both of that.
I'm glad you picked on it.
Yeah. Let me tell you, there's no question. But it's just so funny that there's no value attached to it at all now. And not only that, but every other... any attempt to attach it to value has been outlawed and ratified by the Supreme Court.
You mean the gold and the silver and everything?
What I mean is that every attempt, you can't have private money anymore.
Oh, right.
You can't even have a contract which says that if the value of the dollar drops between now and the time of the end of the payment of this contract,
right.
We want the current value of some commodity.
Right.
You used to be able to attach it to something.
Right, right.
And that... Even that ability to try to stabilize your contractual
right.
obligations has been undermined and rubber stamped by the Supreme Court, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so I mean, there's no other money available. You know, all you get is the paper. You know, and
the paper just says on it, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
For all debts.
End of story. This piece of paper that we printed up yesterday.
That's it.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
You know, it is crazy.
It's crazy and of course, how everybody accepted it. At some point, everybody just went, okey-doke.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, you know, Jim and Taxi with the, you know.
Yeah. No, it was interesting
Yeah, I mean, and I guess,
what the hell was that?
That was Homer going insane.
Okay.
I guess they got away with the gold thing in 1933 because it was the Depression and it was Roosevelt and whatever. But
it's truly amazing. What blew me away was that the Supreme Court basically went along with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand that part. You know,
they fought it for a while.
I know they fought it for a while. What was interesting, of course, was. We had a central bank when the country first started. Hamilton set one up, and then Jackson came along and threw it out. So we had no central banking until essentially 1913, for whatever 1830 to 1913, whatever 70, 80 years. And, you know, we did pretty well during those years. I mean, other than the Civil War, the fact is that the people got rich. I mean, that was the Industrial Revolution. That was the railroads. That was the telegraph, the telephone. That was the start of every
Tesla coil.
The Tesla coil. Hell yeah,
God.
That's right. And then it all went downhill because they outlawed prostitution.
And for a while, booze.
Yeah, and booze, right? Now you got to think about that. You got to think about that decade, what I call the Wilson decade. I mean, first of all, 1913, you've got the Federal Reserve Act and the Income Tax Amendment. There starts that off. Then you have the First World War, excuse me. And then you've got in 18 or 19 or something, they got the women the right to vote, for God's sakes. And then, you know, think about that. And then on top of everything, they outlawed
next
booze.
Next thing you know, they'll be driving.
Yeah. I mean, they outlawed booze, for God's sakes. I mean, you know.
I mean, when you needed booze the most.
The teens in this country were a disaster when you come right down to it. They should have just eliminated the teens.
Yeah, you were coming up on the teens again.
Yeah, we are coming up on them.
Yeah. We're probably not going to make it to the teens because of the...
Well, 2012.
2012, that's right.
The end of the universe.
The Mayan calendar,
right. The Mayans have said we ain't going to make it this
time. Probably
I just think they got tired of making a calendar and looking out there and going, we're not going to live that long. What the hell do we care?
Right. Yeah. You're talking about our great Google grandchildren.
Yeah.
Stop at
2012.
Fourth cycle or something that they didn't bother to compute. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it finishes the long count.
That's it.
Yeah. And then that's it. And then it's, you know, 1,000 years of nuclear war.
Yeah, I'm kind of an Occam's razor. I'm an Occam's razor kind of guy. I'm thinking it's more like, you know, they just got, you know, the simplest answer is the correct
one. The stone was only that big.
Yeah, right. They ran out of stone, yeah. My chisel broke. Okay, that's
call it a day.
Let's call it a day. That's
2011, 2012. Oh, snap. I was going to 3,000.
That's it.
That's a long ways in the future. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah. Probably won't be here.
Yeah.
But I'll let somebody else carry on that conversation.
That's it. Yeah, he had a heart attack.
That's my.
Got to leave something for somebody on the table, you know.
That's good.
Well, and so Bernanke here to bring us back to this this catastrophe.
I don't understand why he doesn't just. He's got to realize. So the people up there got to realize it's all over. I mean, he can't do anything. I don't know why he doesn't take his. You know, he's worth $100-200 million that he got from Goldman Sachs and everything. I mean, he managed to bail out his pals and himself and everything.
Well, he really
I don't understand
believes,
why
I
didn't
I
buy
really
the 422-foot yacht, hot and cold running babes, and going down to the Caribbean in a non-extraditable country.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. Jimmy, he is the leader. He is the cynosure of the group of Keynesian economists up there who are convinced that they can carefully manipulate this economy.
They talk as if it's a tightrope.
Is that what they say?
Tightrope.
Yeah. It's burning. It's on fire.
it's got no end. I mean, it maybe hitched at one end, but not at the other.
It's only a tightrope because if they stick with it one way or the other,
right,
it's going to screw it up.
Yeah, right.
It used to be like a nice.
And they're supposed to be the all-knowing geniuses that are smarter than the market and can figure out how we do this nice soft landing. Mm-hmm. And nobody gets hurt. And of course, unfortunately, it's like the carbon in the air. It's too late. I mean, they've printed up all the money.
What it is there's too many factors.
You don't even need that many factors. Here's the deal. They have printed up like an extra couple of $1 trillion that is not in the economy yet because the banks are hoarding it. If they raise interest rates, you know, they always talk about when the business recovery comes that the interest rates will naturally rise as people want to borrow money to do other things. Well, of course, that means that the interest rises on the government debt too, which is currently at $12 trillion and counting, which they are now paying out something between $300-400 billion a year just in interest payments, and they're borrowing. You know, talk about a rollover loan. They roll it over every week or two. So if interest rates go from the current, you know, 0.01% to 8%, 9%, whatever it is, suddenly the interest payments alone go to, you know, $1 trillion a year, just the interest. You have to reborrow just the interest. I mean, how many people would do that?
Would you say that if they just stayed out of it and we went into a massive inflationary period, that would actually be beneficial?
I'm saying that if they would stay out of it, at this point, what they should do actually is to get out of the money business. Totally. They should just get out of the money business. But abolish the Fed.
And yeah, there might be a.
And there would be a depression. There would have to be a massive reallocation of capital. We do still have capital in this country. Now, the question is, are we going to default on the Chinese and tell them to go stuff their $782 billion that they're holding?
Goddamn Mongolians!
That's right.
You tear down my chitty wall.
That's right. I mean, the fact is, we've got it's like if I mortgage this house, which is worth about $250,000 or something. It's like if I had a $2 million mortgage on it. I mean, you can't pay it. It just can't be paid. There's no amount of work, or you can't earn your way out of it. It just can't be done.
Kimmer!
That's right. The mathematics just don't work.
All
right.
So let's say the interest rates go up. We can't pay the Chinese. We default.
So the only there's
on
only
that.
Two things you can do.
Uh-huh.
You can default.
Right.
You can basically tell everybody we're not going to pay your bonds after all.
Right.
Or you do Zimbabwe trick.
Right.
And you say, yeah, here's your money.
Here it is.
Yeah, here it is.
Hey,
right
here.
We got
some more of it.
Yeah, we got some
how
more of it right
need?
Here. Look, all you do is you take your little magic marker.
How about some beads?
And you, yeah, how about... They'd be
free
worth more. You take that $100 bill, you put another zero on there, okay? There's $1,000.
Well, we calculated the value of these beads based on their value at midnight on Fat Tuesday.
Right. Right.
In front of PJ O'Reilly's bar and
right.
pub. And so it's $1,000 for this particular beat.
That's right. That's right. So
seems fair to me.
Well, good. Yeah, sucker. There's the deal is that you talk about a tightrope. He's already fallen off. I mean, there's no way out of this.
So then the Chinese. So then we tell the Chinese.
They're probably going to try and do both.
Right.
They're going to inflate, and they're going to which is a de facto default, and they're going to inflate. And they're going to try and actually hold the inflation down to some moderate level. But what's going to be interesting to watch, of course, is the election next November when unemployment is at 12.5%. And you can bet that there's going to be the...
Well, will they hold it off in some artificial way until after the election?
I don't think they can. I really don't, because the fact is that the government employs a lot of people, but it's only the government's only like 10% of the workforce or something. I mean, there's too many people that are going out of work. It's going to be a snowball.
Well, you do like you do. You do like you do for me. You fire me from effectively my job, and then you hire me for a government job, and you've created a job.
Right. Well, as long as you get paid, you're not upset.
I don't know.
Well,
I think the strip club idea sounds better and better all the time.
Yeah, well, it's like go down to Key West or something and open up a strip bar. You could do worse.
Then we'll really come visit you a lot.
Yeah, I guess you would. Yeah, it's a lot closer.
Yeah,
I mean we got
there's an airstrip.
Yeah, I was about to say we got an airstrip here and an airstrip
exactly,
there.
Exactly, man. That's a
really
2-hour flight or
that's
something.
That's right, and it's warmish down there too.
Oh yeah,
not like the snow. I mean, people. You have to understand that people down there dress lightly anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, just walking around.
Yeah,
not like in Colorado where they're all dressed up like snow bunnies.
Yeah,
you can't tell what's underneath.
We get a Huey with floats on it and just land it in your backyard.
Yeah, there we go.
Stitch, are you in the chopper right now, Stitch?
Yeah. I don't like choppers, man.
No, he's more of a Stuka dive bomber.
Mm. Okay, well, next item. We have a Hugo up.
Let's take a really quick break, and we'll come right back.
With Hugo.
Hugo.
This is Engineer Eric. That was part one of our December 1st, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
Okey-doke.
Stay tuned for part two.